NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? CUC Radio English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. This is Cao Jingshu.
And this is Wu Qingzhe. Today is Monday, May the 1st, the 10th week of this term.
Here is the roundup of the latest news, coming up next 30 minutes.
Rhapsody of Museum, the dancing show of CUC, was held in the auditorium of CUC.
As for the highlights of the show, well, I think it's very special because there are no hosts on the stage. From the beginning to the end, all of us enjoying the performance without being interrupted.
China successfully launches its first cargo spacecraft, Tianzhou the First.
This is the countdown. 7, 6,
China's first cargo spacecraft, Tianzhou the First, successfully entered orbit on the evening of April the 20th.
Trump angers South Koreans with offhand comments.
President Donald Trump said in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, April the 12th, 2017. He then went into the history of China and Korea. And comment on 001A aircraft carrier and Chinese military force.
This ship is what China needs to transform its navy from a small fleet into a formidable force capable of gaining dominance in the Pacific.
And this is Weekly Focus.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
On April the 21st, Rhapsody of Museum, the dancing show of CUC, was successfully performed in the auditorium of CUC. The show was hosted by the Students Association Union of CUC, and during the 90 minutes, 13 carefully prepared performances were shown to more than 1,400 audiences. Here is a detailed report from our correspondent, Wei Rongguo.
We all know that dancing is a kind of art with infectious expression. Here we interviewed some audiences, and let's find out how they feel about the show.
First, I want to say that my favorite dance is performed by Ye Chenyang and Zhang Jing. With Chinese classic style music and the superb dancing skills, the performance showed the love and gentleness. As for the highlights of the show, well, I think it's very special because there are no hosts on the stage. From the beginning to the end, all of us enjoying the performance without being interrupted. I think it's very good. And the scene Rhapsody of Museum is brilliant, which gives us a fantastic feeling of museum escaping.
As the saying goes, 1 minute on stage takes 10 years of practice of the stage. Here we meet a hip-hop actor who has just finished his performance. And let's listen to his story.
In order to bring our best performance to the audiences, our group, Password, have practiced for nearly 2 weeks. You can see that more than half of the performances are from ours, which means that every one of us has prepared at least 2 dances. Since all the members are busy, we have to practice at nights and weekends. Thanks to our efforts, tonight's show has become a huge success. I think all of us have tried our best.
In order to ensure that the show go on smoothly, the members of the Students Association Union have also done a lot. Let's listen to their voice.
From the plan making, the auditions, the stage arrangement to the public performance, all of us, I mean all the members of the Students Association Union, have put our hearts into the show. Thankfully, there are enthusiastic responses from the audiences. For the show, I think it's a success, and for myself, I think it's an unforgettable experience.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, student.
Thank you, Wei Rongguo. Thanks to the efforts of both the actors and the staff, the dancing show has become a visual feast for all the audience. Hope there to be better performances next year and more students to join in it.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news.
This is the countdown. 7, 6,
China's first cargo spacecraft, Tianzhou I, successfully entered orbit on the evening of April the 20th. It blasted off on the back of Long March the 7th Y-2 carrier rocket launched from the Wenchang spacecraft launch site in South China's Hainan province at 7:45 p.m. DGT. Tianzhou I is independently developed by China and is nicknamed Space Courier due to its mission of transporting fuel and resupply materials, coverage from CGTN.
Now let's know more about the delivery man. Measuring 10.6 meters in length and up to 3.35 meters in diameter, the tube-like Tianzhou I, China's biggest ever spacecraft, is designed to accommodate up to 6.5 tons of payload. It is scheduled to dock with the Tiangong II space lab in orbit and test the liquid propellant transfer in microgravity. So far, the in-orbit refueling technology has only been mastered by the US and Russia. Also, it will carry out over 10 aerospace application and technology experiments, some of which may benefit patients with liver disease and rarefaction of bones in the future. Moreover, it's designed to resupply astronauts on the future space station with food, water, and other provisions.
Tianzhou I launch is a key step towards China's ambition to establish a permanently manned space station by 2022. China's manned space station program was launched in 1992, with three phases mapped out. The first one, the launch of a manned space shuttle to carry Chinese astronauts into space for several experiments, was realized with the Shenzhou V and 6 missions. Phase 2 involved technological breakthroughs, such as spacewalking, putting a space lab into orbit, docking and also Tianzhou I's capacity of in-orbit refueling. And the third phase calls for the establishment of a fully functional space station by 2022. The Internal Affairs and Communications Minister and over 90 members of parliament visited the shrine in Masset. Abe visited the shrine in person in December 2013 after becoming premier for the second time the previous year.
The offering at the Yasukuni Shrine followed the approval by Japan's Education Ministry of the inclusion of Jukendo, or bayonet fighting, in middle school students' physical education curriculum. That has raised the concerns of reviving nostalgia for militarism among students.
At the regular press conference on the same day, Chinese Foreign Minister spokesperson Lu Kang urged Japan to face its history of aggression squarely and reflect on it deeply, to make a clean break with militarism and win the trust of its Asian neighbors and the international community. Let's hear what Lu Kang has said.
China has always firmly opposed these kinds of acts by Japanese politicians. Japan should abide by the spirit of the four political documents between the two countries and implement their four-point agreement reached in 2014. We urge Japan to reflect on its history of aggression and draw a line under militarism. Japan should earn the trust of its neighbors and the international community through action.
Okay, let's look at the international news. President Donald Trump said in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, April the 12th, 2017, he then went into the history of China and Korea, not North Korea, Korea. And you know, you're talking about thousands of years and many wars, and Korea actually used to be a part of China. And after listening for 10 minutes, I realized that it's not so easy.
This claim was largely buried in news coverage of Trump's wide-ranging interview with the Journal, during which he made numerous flip-flops on several policy areas. But it belatedly went viral in South Korea after a Quartz article Tuesday drew attention to it.
Trump's inartful retelling of Sino-Korean history sparked widespread outrage among Koreans, who are particularly sensitive to the U.S. president's rhetoric amid heightened tensions between North and South Korea. Leaders across the political spectrum criticized Trump's characterization, calling it a clear distortion of history and an attempt to undermine Korean sovereignty.
South Korea's government on Thursday sought to correct President Trump, publicly declaring it was never part of China. It is a clear fact acknowledged by the international community that for thousands of years of history, Korea has never been part of China. Foreign Ministry spokesman Chao Jun-hwik said Thursday in Seoul, according to Bloomberg News.
On April the 20th, one policeman has been shot dead and two others wounded in central Paris, with their suspected attacker killed by security forces. Here is the witness talking to BBC about what he saw.
We were moving towards a car and then I heard two or three shots, but I didn't realize they were shots to start with. And well, then there was just panic all around. Everyone started running down the Champs-Élysées just by instinct. I didn't stop to work out what was going on.
The whole story goes like this. A car pulled up alongside a police bus just before 9 o'clock p.m. and a man got out, opening fire with an automatic weapon at the bus. After killing an officer, he attempted to run away while shooting at other officers, two of whom he injured. He was then shot dead by security forces. Islamic State later identified the attacker as Abu Yusuf al-Baljiki in a statement carried by its Amak News outlet.
Islamist militancy is a major issue in the polls after recent mass attacks claimed by IS, with 238 people killed in jihadist attacks in France since 2015, according to data from AFP News Agency. French President François Hollande has used a ceremony to honor the police officers slain in the attack to call for unity in a long and difficult fight against terrorism.
Far-right Marine Le Pen pledged to expel radical Islamists, while the center-right François Fillon talked of fighting Islamist totalitarianism. Prime Minister Bernard Cazeneuve accused Mr. Fillon and Mrs. Le Pen of cynically exploiting the attack.
In Washington, U.S. President Donald Trump, whose election win stunned much of the world last year, predicted in a tweet that the attack would have a big effect on the presidential election. BBC commented on April the 21st that no one knows how the attack will play on the election. Our correspondent says,
but the killing of a policeman in Champs-Élysées is a shocking event
that will certainly be on people's minds as they contemplate their choice this weekend. Okay, let's move on to the weekly news minute. The inauguration of Xiong'an New Area Development Research Institute of CUC was successfully convened in the Hall of the Library. Fan Zhou, the head of Economy and Management Division and Dean of Cultural Development Institute, became the first head of the institute.
Guan Zhengwen, the director of the famous reality show Letters Alive, gave a lecture in CUC on April the 26th. The lecture focused on the core interests of reality show and the cultural mechanism of the market and attracted a lot of students to attend.
The C919, the much-anticipated first commercial aircraft for passengers to be made in China, has taken another step closer to its maiden flight by completing its fourth high-speed taxiing test on Sunday in Shanghai. It was the C919's first test with the front landing gear of the plane slightly lifted to simulate takeoff.
The International Monetary Fund on last Tuesday upgraded its forecast for China's economic growth in 2017 and 2018, reflecting the stronger-than-expected momentum of the Chinese economy in 2016.
In a shock announcement, British Prime Minister Theresa May, on April the 18th, called for an early general election to be held to seek a strong mandate as she negotiates Britain's exit from the EU. She said the political divisions risk our ability to make a success of Brexit.
Voters on Sunday are casting their ballots in the first election in France's modern history to take place under a state of emergency. Security has been tightened across the country with many polling stations guarded by armed police and soldiers. Around 46.87 million voters are registered to vote in 66,546 polling stations, several of them protected for the first time in France's recent memory by armed police and soldiers.
So nice to see you again. Let's go through some fresh sports news. Barcelona defeated Real Madrid on April 23rd after defeated by Juventus and bowing out the Champions League quarterfinal. Lionel Messi scored his 500th career goal for Barcelona to give the Catalan club a dramatic 3-2 win over 10-man Real Madrid in the last minute of the Clásico on Sunday, leaving the Spanish league title race wide open.
Leaves it for Messi. Messi full steam ahead. Brilliant! Lionel Messi! Hasn't scored in six Clásicos, but he's back to haunt Real Madrid. Cut and thrust. Absolutely superb.
Casemiro scored first for the host before Messi and Ivan Rakitic put Barcelona in front, and Sergio Ramos was shown the red card for a wild lunge. It was a match between two teams that went for the victory, said Luis Enrique, coach of Barcelona. Either one could have won it. Cristiano Ronaldo had a few good chances but was not able to capitalize on them. Sun Yang cemented his status as China's top freestyler at the Chinese National Swimming Championships, but the triple Olympic champion admitted that physical toll of the sports had left him doubting his participation in the 2020 Tokyo game. Despite the 25-year-old won gold at all his events, he suffered for his impressive haul. I had a stomachache during the winter training and kept taking medicine until now. To keep fighting is never easy. I did feel tired, said Sun, who also had to battle through back and shoulder pain in the 1500 meters final. However, while he vowed to try his best to compete in Tokyo, the thought of more years of punishing training has left him feeling uncertain. One day after seeing his back was progressing, Tiger Woods had a fourth back surgery to alleviate pain and will go through another year without playing a major. The surgery was Wednesday at the Texas Back Institute. Woods was in misery on Tuesday to announce plans to design a public golf course at Big Cedar Lodge. Asked about his health during the ceremony, Woods said he had good days and bad days, and then he flew to Dallas for fusion surgery to create space in his lower back. The announcement on his website Thursday said typical recovery from a single-level fusion surgery is 6 months. Police in Germany have charged a man suspected of being behind an attack on the Borussia Dortmund team bus. Rather than having links to radical Islamism, he was a market trader hoping to make money if the price of shares in the team fell, prosecutors say. The suspect has been charged with attempted murder, triggering explosions and causing serious physical injury. He has been identified only as Shergai W and was staying in the team's hotel overlooking the scene of the attack. Two people needed medical help after three bombs exploded near the bus. Spanish footballer Marc Bartra underwent wrist surgery and a police officer was treated for shock. Tennis superstar Serena Williams is pregnant and taking maternity leave through the rest of 2017, expecting to give birth this fall. She confirmed her pregnancy on Wednesday in an announcement from her spokeswoman, which upended a sport the 35-year-old athlete has dominated for the past decade. The confirmation came hours later. Williams set up a day of frenzied speculation with a picture of the tennis player in a yellow bathing suit on Snapchat social media, with the caption, 20 weeks. Williams deleted the photo shortly after it appeared and waited more than 6 hours to make any public comment, stoking debate among tennis fans about whether or not she was joking. Williams, 35, is already known around the world for her dominance of women's tennis. Last December, the world's highest-paid female athlete announced her engagement to Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian. Also in that month, she won her 23rd Grand Slam at the Australia Open when she had actually been pregnant for 8 weeks. That's all for the sports. Let's move on to the entertainment.
Welcome to Weekly Entertainment. Stick to the channel and I'll bring you a terrific show tonight.
I'm with the gang, 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 and we about to go up. Twisting lanes is a thing every time we show up.
Weeks ago, we shared a clip of Thriller with you, leaving the cliffhanger about Dominic Toretto's dramatic betrayal in The Fate of Furious. Now the movie has been on for half a month, and its box office turned out to be a remarkable success. 3 million won in only 3 days, and nearly 2 billion in the first week. Fast and Furious series against the sweeps across the screens. Many voices come as they think that the production team may not let this popular series come to an end easily. Instead, they would make more Fast and Furious movies to earn more profits. But recently, the team confirms that they will follow the original plan, which means Fast and Furious 10 would be the last ride. One of the producers says they've already had a plan about how to end the story, but they're still working on the way of foreshadowing. Tributes have been pouring in for Yang Jie, director of the most-watched TV series, Journey to the West. She passed away at the age of 88. Yang was China's first-ever female producer and among the very first generation of China's TV directors. Liu Xiaoling Tong, the actor who played the Monkey King, posted a message on Weibo to pay tribute. Yan was a great loss to Chinese television. If there was no journey to the West, I would not have made any of my achievements. Born in Hubei province in 1929, Yan once worked at China National Radio and China Central Television. She was listed as one of the China's top 10 television directors in 1988. Yan's journey to the West has been hailed by many as a classic, having been rebroadcast more than 3,000 times since it was first screened in 1986. It was really a fate in 1980s, the time before computer animation technology. The Time 100 is an annual list of the most influential people in the world, features a number of leading artists, politicians, lawmakers, scientists, and leaders of tech and business. The 2017 Time 100 has just unveiled its final list. Fan Bingbing and Ma Yun are on the chart. Fan is the only nation female this year. Here are some words excerpt from a passage written by Diane von Furstenberg. The first thing I noticed when I met Fan Bingbing was her inner strength, which was exuded so effortlessly that it was difficult to take my eyes off her. Her innate sense of style has made her a natural to represent global brands. She is also a woman who knows her own strength, but not only Fan Bingbing a brilliant actor, but she is also a formidable businesswoman. Bruce Springsteen has a new music out, and is taking aim at Donald Trump. The rocker and her longtime friend Joe Grushicki has released a protest anthem titled "That's What Makes Us Great." The house rockers laid the track digitally, with Springsteen's emailing her contribution to the song. The result is Springsteen singing, "Don't tell me a lie and sell it as a fact. I've been down that road before and I ain't going back." As well as "Don't you brag to me, tell you ever read a book. I never put my faith in a con man and his crooks." The musician and Democratic Party donor has been open about his disapproval of the current president. In January, Springsteen said he was worried about the future of the United States. Springsteen questioned Trump's competency. "It is as simple as the fear of. Is someone simply competent enough to do this particular job? Do they simply have the pure competence to be put in the position of such responsibility?" Last time, there was a spoof video of United Airlines on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Well, they make another new version this week called Matt Damon version. Damon is a famous American actor who always been in the awkward position when getting along with Jimmy. It is hard to tell whether they really hate each other or not, but it is a fact that the collisions between the two can always tickle people's funny bones. Now let's find out what on earth happened during their flight.
We're United Airlines. We work hard to get you safely to your destination, and that's why we... You know what? No, I can't do this anymore. Because I know what it's like to get bumped. Trust me, I've been getting bumped from Jimmy's show for the last 8 years, and it takes a toll. We're people, damn it, and we deserve to be treated with dignity. Not told night after night, "Oh, there's somebody more important, so take a hike." No, it's time to stand up. Hey, what are you doing?
We need the seat.
What do you mean you need this seat? I'm doing a voiceover for your company.
We need your cooperation, sir. We need the seat.
No, what do you mean, sir? I'm Matt Damon. I'm... Ow! Put your hands off! Ow!
Hi, I'm Jimmy Kimmel, inviting you to come fly the friendly skies.
People are animals!
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Commentary. This is commentator Han Yu.
This is commentator Shi Jian.
On April the 26th, China's first domestically built aircraft carrier was launched in Dalian Shipyard. The new aircraft carrier, which was temporarily called 001A, was China's second aircraft carrier after Liaoning. And the tidings of launching have spread for several days since April the 23rd. The ceremony of launching drew whole world's attention. What are the prominent features of 001A? How's the prospect of the carrier and Chinese naval force? And what strategic meaning does it have on China and the world? We'll analyze one by one. But first, let's hear the story from CGTN.
This ship is what China needs to transform its navy from a small fleet into a formidable force capable of gaining dominance in the Pacific. The Chinese Defense Ministry announced in December 2015 the plan to domestically construct a new Liaoning aircraft carrier. Less than 2 years later, the country's first home-built aircraft carrier is about to enter the water. China's first domestically built aircraft carrier is near the final stages of construction. The giant ship, which is now at Dalian Shipyard, has also been painted in PLA navy gray, meaning it is almost ready for launch.
The 001A, which was built after the construction of Liaoning, only took Chinese engineers 3 years to finish. It doesn't have much differences comparing with the Liaoning carrier, but the improvement of People's Liberation Army Navy was evident. According to the report from CGTN, the layout, equipment, and overall functional concept are well advanced. The advancement including a much bigger hangar to carry more G-15 fighters, rearrangement of deck for more helicopters and other aircraft, and a more comfortable and modern environment for the crew members. The enlarged hangar is also available for more weapons and sensors as well.
For the building of an aircraft carrier will normally take 6 or more years. Various presses cast more lights on the amazing speed of construction along with the growing strength of PLAN. The launching on Wednesday marked China became the 7th country with the capability to build its own aircraft carriers after the US, Russia, Britain, France, Italy and Spain. Financial Times said the military expert Song Zhongping saying, 001A's role will be to help build China's Great Wall of the Sea, in line with the basic security plan of Chinese Navy.
Launching also be a way to commensurate the naval power with the international status of China. In 2013, the Irish Times was claiming that China's territorial maritime power only ranked between the Maldives and Somalia with discriminating tone. 4 years passed with the rapid development of Chinese naval force, when China will have the strength using 2 aircraft carriers to safeguard the territory in 2020, some of the Western media again show a partial and subjective attitude toward the launching, mentioning the Chinese threat theory again.
The launching, viewed as an ambitious expansion by ABC News, in which China have been reported as trying raising tensions around the Asia-Pacific by constructing military structures and aircraft carriers, while ignoring U.S. military bases pointed toward China. Facing with this kind of comments, Foreign Ministry spokesperson Geng Shuang reiterated China's adherence to peaceful development, adding that the country follows a national defense policy that's defensive in nature. He said at a daily press briefing, the purpose of developing China's national defense forces, including its navy, is to safeguard national sovereignty, security, and development interests, as well as to protect world peace.
So how's the prospect of Chinese navy? At present, China has 2 aircraft carriers, including the Liaoning, and the first China main aircraft carrier 001A. A third, Type 002, is currently under construction in Shanghai, and 002 will be much more advanced than the former ones. Although there is still a technological gap between China and the US, for example, both 001 and 001A are conventionally powered, which means they have a slower speed and a limited range than US nuclear-powered aircraft carrier. And the China Navy scale are also less than that of America. The US operates 10 aircraft carriers, has 62 destroyers to China's 32, and then 75 submarines to China's 68. The US Navy has 323,000 personnel to China's 235,000.
However, with the fast development of military technology, China is making profound progress on naval force. The Guardian said that the Type 002, which is still under construction, is expected to be closer in size to the U.S. Navy's nuclear-powered 100,000-ton Nimitz-class ships, with flat decks and catapults to allow planes to launch with more bombs and fuel aboard. Also, the diplomats commented that G-15 fighters have been observed undergoing testing for catapult-assisted takeoff, suggesting that future Chinese carriers may incorporate this technology.
And according to Global Times, citing of Yin Zhuo, a senior researcher at the PLA Navy Equipment Research Center, quote, in order to protect China's territories and overseas interests, China needs 2 carrier strike groups in the Western Pacific Ocean and 2 in the Indian Ocean. So we need at least 5 to 6 aircraft carriers. We indeed could expect to see a bright future of PLAN.
For the strategic meaning of the Type 001A, Just as Ma Xiaoguang, a Chinese mainland spokesperson with the Taiwan Affairs Office of the State Council, commented, the move will help to strengthen our capability to safeguard national sovereignty, territorial integrity, as well as major and core interests. And the aircraft carrier combines Army, Navy, and Air Force. It will play an important role on both the deterrence and attacking. On the disputes over South China Sea, China will gain more advantages through the usage of two carrier strike groups. Meanwhile, U.S. will no longer be the only country with the ability to crew the Asia-Pacific.
On April 23, 1949, in Taizhou, Jiangsu Province, with just 9 warships and 17 boats obtained after a unit of the Kuomintang's 2nd Coastal Defense Fleet defected to the PLA, the People's Liberation Army Navy was established. 68 years later, with effort for several generations, Chinese Navy is becoming one of the world's strongest Navy forces. As the launching of the 001A, the new voyage belongs to China begins.
That's all for today's weekly commentary. This is commentator Han Yu.
This is commentator Shi Jian. See you.
Thank you, Han Yu and Shi Jian. We offer you some living tips at the end of our program.
These days, don't forget to adapt your clothes to the changing weather. By the way, just prepare your t-shirt and dress for the coming of summer. These are the selecting news brought you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focus is on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. This is Cao Jingshu, see you.
And this is Wu Xinzhe, see you.
One 个人的时候，听荔枝 FM。